This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We are live at The Pint, 109th and Jasper, until 2 o'clock today. It's 12:45. You can email us at nationradio at theteam1260.com. Have a few emails to get to here. This is from Michael Clark saying, got to say the case for Timo Hartikainen keeps growing. I think he starts next season in the NHL. Found some chemistry with Omark and Pajarvi. Would you go out this summer and offer Glenn Cross a contract? He would compliment Jones, throw in Cogliano in the middle, and that would make a good fourth line for 50 to 65 games of the year. Interesting. I think the Oilers, for right now, for the summertime, have to figure out what they're going to do at center. They got Horkoff, Gagne, Cogliano, Colin Fraser. That's the healthy top four. You've got Van de Velde, who's shown well. You've got Anton Lander, who is likely to be signed and come over from Sweden. So there's a few players in the mix inside the organization that might, or obviously will play top 4 minutes. And then you've got somebody like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who could be drafted, might have to move Gagne or Cogliano off the top, off the center position. So move them onto the wing. There's a lot of things to happen before July 1st comes. So as far as signing a Glenn Cross is concerned, I think it's an either-or. Either Ryan Jones, who looks like, from what we've read in the papers the last couple of days, looks like he's negotiating and may well be very close to a deal. So that may mean someone like Glenn Cross doesn't come over. Of course, the great thing about Glenn Cross is he really does have more grit than most of the Oilers wingers do. I guess Hartikainen is a guy that we're looking to fill that role, but it might be a year or so before he gets off the fourth line. So interesting questions and something that we can look at as we move forward. This is from Jason. And he says, what do you think of the blue line going into 2011-12? That's an interesting question, too. I look at the Oilers right now as a team that has two top four defensemen, and that's Whitney and Gilbert. When healthy, those guys can play in the top four. Gilbert might not be able to be that top pairing guy without Whitney. Whitney probably the best complete defenseman on the team. Then there's a few candidates for the third pairing, and I'd count Petrie, Smead, and Peckham there. Someday, one or two of those guys may be able to reach into the top four and play big minutes on the PK or the power play. But as of right now, you'd like them to be your secondary guys. So there's two openings there, and I suspect the Oilers will sign a Jim Vandermeer or a Jim Vandermeer type sometime during this summer, and he will likely be one of the candidates for the top four. They might put Petrie in there with Vandermeer or Smead in with Petrie, something like that. But you're going to be a little weak in your top four, and that's before injuries. And the one thing the Edmonton Oilers have taught us over the last 3 years is that there's always injuries, especially to defensemen. They are just a very tough position to play. So my feeling is that we as Oilers fans should look forward to one free agent signing, maybe a deal or two, but the top six defensemen next year are very likely to be Whitney, Gilbert, Petrie, Smead, Peckham, Foster, and maybe a free agent of Vandermeer type who's going to be coming in. That's what I look at. There's no real hurry for them to go out and sign or trade for, unless he's readily available, a big stud on the blue line, and they might be drafting one in Adam Larson, and he's to be considered too when we look at it. 12:49 now. I'm delighted to welcome and talk to Bob Ridley. Bob, how are you?
Really good, yourself?
I'm good. Now, you must be a little hoarse after last night's game. That was a wicked one for the Tigers.
Well, there was lots of goals scored, no doubt about it. Rather surprising. Like, we expected this series to be a low scoring and a lot of defense, but Red Deer Rebels got off the game a little bit, and as a result, Tigers wound up on the power play. And yeah, you're right. There was lots of goals. A lot of fun in that one for the Tigers anyway.
Tyler Bunn's back in the game. Was it a busy night for him?
Well, he was solid. Let's put it that way. He hadn't played for maybe 10 days or so, but he was solid, made the saves that he had to make, and wasn't tested a whole lot, which was a good thing. A lot of the action was at the other end of the ice. Like I said, Red Deer just wasn't quite there with their game, and the Tigers were on top of there. So, but Tyler looked real good, and looks as though he's responded very, very well from that head injury that he had.
The big scoring stars for the Tigers last night and during the regular year, Lyndon Vay and Emerson Edom, they seemed like they were having some big-time success last night.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, to win in the playoffs, as you well know, your best players got to be your best players, as the old cliche goes. And that was the case there last night for the Red Deer Rebels. They didn't get that. And we're expecting, you know, that to kind of turn around a little bit here tonight. We know that Andre Cardona Ryan Nugent Hopkins, John Kirsten, and Ferguson and Elsom. They're all very, very capable, and they can wind it up offensively as well. So I think you'll see the Red Deer Rebels scoring a few more goals than they did last night. And as far as the Tigers are concerned, I know Emerson Needham, Lynn and Vey have been doing a lot of their scoring, but they've also been getting some real good secondary scoring as well, which you have to have in the playoffs. Jace Coyle coming off the backhand had a couple of goals there last night, and Thomas Carlson scoring on a power play. So it's important that everybody chips in at this time of the year, as you know.
Tyler Pitlick had a good regular season, was injured. Is he possible to come back if the Tigers go deep enough in the playoffs, or is he out for the entire year?
No, he's not out for the entire year. He's working hard at rehabbing, and if the Tigers should have to get through this series against the Red Deer Rebels, we'll probably see him back in the lineup for the next series, the conference finals. So he's just itching to get back in again, and doing a real good job in rehabbing. He's with the club as we speak, and their biggest cheerleader right now. But Tyler Pitlick's a great kid, and then all the people in Edmonton are really going to enjoy him as time moves forward here when he graduates.
He's a gritty, more gritty player, is he, on the right wing?
He is a power forward, no question about it. He's got good strength and good balance. He likes to get in the dirty areas in front of the net and comes off that wing so strong, he's very tough for a defenseman to kind of contain him. So Tyler Pitlick's got pro written all over him, no question about it.
Did he play at all at center, or did they have him at the wing the entire year?
Mostly at the wing. On occasion, he would take the odd center shift, but for the most part, he was played on the wing, and they did a great job there coming off the wing as well.
Bob, I'm going to change gears a little bit here because you are a legend in Medicine Hat and in the WHL, so I want to set a few facts straight for our listeners. You started doing play-by-play and doing the bus driving and all kinds of things for the Tigers in 1970, correct?
Yeah, that's when we came into the league. I was very fortunate to happen to be in Medicine at the time. We were broadcasting senior hockey at that time, and then the old arena burnt down, and they switched gears into Major Junior, got into the Western Hockey League, and we've been doing this ever since. And I'll tell you one thing, it's been a heck of a ride, no pun intended.
You've seen everybody from Stan Weir to the current group. Who's the best Tiger you ever saw?
You know, the people keep putting me on the spot that way, and there's been so many good ones, and they all contributed in a different way. But probably, and I'm not saying this to show any favoritism at all, but probably the best Tiger ever as far as all-around play was concerned was Tom Lysiak. He won back-to-back scoring championships back in the early 70s. And Lyndon Bay was the only other player of the modern era to even come close to that. Lyndon Bay, of course, winning the championship this year for the Tigers. But Tom Lysiak, he was an outstanding junior, could do it all. He was a great skater. He was tough. And great stick handlers, could score goals. He was more of a setup man than a goal scorer, however. And I would have to say, when you boil it right down to who was the best ever Tiger, it was Tom Lysiak.
And he had a fine NHL career in Atlanta and Chicago
as
well.
He did.
I saw a few WHL games back then, early to mid-1970s, and they were long and fight-filled. That's what I remember. They just took forever to play. Is the WHL game better now, do you believe?
100% better, no question about it. There's more hockey now. There's more speed, more skill, and everything else. Yeah, back then you had your few players in every team that had some good speed and skill. But now all these kids can skate. They can all shoot. They can all grind if they have to. There's no question about it. Hockey in general, I think, is a lot better than it used to be. Yeah, we still like to see the fight and everything else, and I hope that never leaves the game. But back then, of course, it was Pier 6 brawls almost every time out. But, the game is a lot better. And anyone that says it's not is crazy because I just love the way the game is right now. The smaller player, the smaller skilled player can now play and be an impact and so on. It's a much better game than it's ever been.
And, you know, the Gasoffs could play today, but they'd play a different style, right? They wouldn't be fighting.
They'd have to learn how to skate a little bit, if you know what I mean. Bob Gassoff, Brad Gassoff. Ken Gassoff was more of a skill player, but Brad and Bob, they were knock-em-down, drag-em-out type players. And you beat one, and you'd have to go after the other one, too. So it was a tough group that we had back then. But they'd have trouble keeping up now. There's no question.
Bob, I've listened to you on the radio for years when I'm in the hat, and it's a thrill to talk to you on the radio. And I want to wish you the best of the luck as you continue calling those Tigers games.
Thank you so much. It's been a ball, and I really appreciate this. And thanks for giving me the time.
All right. Bob Ridley, Medicine Hat Tigers play-by-play man and a real class act. And kind of had an opportunity to talk to him. He's a real legend. I mean, imagine 1970. Most of you probably can't remember 1970, but I can. To have one job and to do it over and over again so well. And the guy is a legend in Medicine Hat for good reason. And throughout the WHL, an award winner, Alberta Sports Hall of Fame, and various other awards from the WHL. And it was a real thrill to talk to him. It's 12:56. We are live at the Pint. Coming up in the next hour, Gene Principe from Rogers Sportsnet. Jim Byers is a regular on the show because Oklahoma City keeps doing something compelling every week. And we'll talk to Jason McKee and congratulate the Spruce Grove Saints as they win the AJHL championship last night. This is Nation Radio live at the Pint. We're back after this.